Friends in Christ, grace and mercy and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior. Again, from the Old Testament reading, we read these words. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "It may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil we did to him." So they sent a message to Joseph saying, "Your father gave this command before he died. Say to Joseph, please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin because they did evil to you. And now, please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father." Joseph wept when he spoke to them. His brothers also came and fell down before him and said, "Behold, we are your servants." But Joseph said to them, "Do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring about that many people should be kept alive as they are today." This is God's word. Please be seated. Well, one of the things we learned from Genesis and from the life of Joseph is that good and evil are perhaps not as clearly distinguished as we might think that they are. If you think you know evil when you see it, or you know good when you see it, then you ought to reread the life of Joseph. Because maybe it'll help you to see things a little bit differently, to see things the way God sees them, which in turn might give you a better attitude toward those who have done evil things to you. So let's recap Joseph's story, just briefly. So we can put today's reading, which is really the end of Joseph's story, into its context. And I would like to invite your participation, audience participation today, all right? Because I'm going to ask you, which is it, good or evil? And you just tell me what you think, good or evil? Don't be afraid to say it out, all right? So we recap Joseph's story in this way. Joseph was the second youngest of 12 sons, and he was his father's favorite, which he knew and which he flaunted before his brothers, which aroused the brothers' jealousy, especially when Joseph told them of a dream that he had had when their stars were bowing down to his star. In anger and in jealousy, these brothers decided they would kill their brother, but at the last moment, they decided instead to sell him into slavery and to lie to their father that he had been killed by wild animals. So which is it, good or evil? That's evil. Well, in Egypt, Joseph is working now as a servant of an official named Potiphar. And Joseph is falsely accused by Potiphar's wife of coming on to her, which now then lands him in jail. Which is it, good or evil?
Evil.
That's evil, right? But in prison, Joseph gets a name for himself as an interpreter of dreams, which comes in very handy when Pharaoh himself has a dream that he cannot interpret and no one else can interpret. But Pharaoh is so pleased with Joseph's interpretation of the dream that he makes Joseph the second in command in all of Egypt. Which is it, good or evil?
Good,
that's good, okay, yeah. Meanwhile, back in the land of Canaan, Joseph's family is suffering a drought. Which is it, good or evil?
Evil.
So the family decides they need to go to Egypt where there is plenty of food, thanks to the Nile River, and the brothers go, not knowing that it was their little brother they had sold into slavery years earlier, who is now the second in command in all of Egypt, to whom they will need to go to ask for food. The very brother they had sold into slavery, they are now approaching him. For these brothers, what do you think? Is that good or evil?
Evil.
I would be afraid. But when Joseph reveals his identity to his brothers, he does not seek revenge. Instead, he forgives them. And he invites his brothers and his elderly father, Jacob, to stay in Egypt, where the family will live in peace and security. Which is it, good or evil? good. And that's where Genesis 50 then picks up the story. The brothers are afraid that Joseph is being kind to them only for the sake of their father, Jacob, or Israel. But when Dad dies at the end of chapter 49, the brothers now fear that all bets are off and that Joseph may yet get his revenge. And so when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "It may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil that we did to him." And then it's at this point that the distinction between good and evil becomes a little less clear. Because they go to Joseph and they beg for his forgiveness. And listen to what Joseph says. He says, "Do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good." You meant evil, but God meant it for good. So, does that mean that under God everything is good? No, evil is still evil. Selling your little brother into slavery is evil. Being falsely accused and imprisoned is evil. Suffering because of a drought is evil. But here is the thing that Joseph teaches us, as well as the Lord's apostle, St. Paul. They teach us that in all things, God works together for good to those who love Him, who are called according to His purpose. Notice, Paul does not say that all things are good. There is evil in this world. And sometimes people have evil intent against us. But for those who love God, every evil that comes against us works for our good. And what is the assurance of that promise? Well, let me put it to you this way. Audience participation again. Jesus is betrayed and arrested in Gethsemane, having committed no crime at all. So which is it, good or evil? That's evil. He is put on trial on trumped up charges. He is falsely accused. He is wrongly condemned. His friends abandon him. Which is it, good or evil?
Evil.
He is punished with floggings, beatings, mockery, spitting. So which is it, good or evil?
Evil.
He is taken to Golgotha, where he is crucified and cruelly nailed up to a tree. Which is it, good or evil?
Evil.
It was pure evil that day. And yet, what do we call that day, good or evil?
Good.
We call it Good Friday. Good Friday, because out of all of that evil, God is working the ultimate good for all of you and for the whole world. It's Good Friday because while Judas and Pilate and the Jewish leaders and the Roman soldiers meant all of that for evil, God meant it for good. And now the blood of Jesus, God's Son, purifies us from all of our sins. He appeared, the letter to the Hebrews says, He appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. As we said in the psalm today, to put it away from us as far as the east is from the west. So that Friday of our Lord's crucifixion, which is it, good or evil?
Good, isn't it?
We call it good, despite the unspeakable evil of that day, because God meant it for our good and for our salvation. So you've been hurt by somebody. Somebody meant evil against you, and they hurt you. Take a moment to think about those times. Maybe your reputation took a hit from someone in the local rumor mill, or on Facebook, or on Twitter. Maybe a co-worker of yours ridiculed you, or betrayed you, or embarrassed you, or blamed you, or maybe took credit for something you had done well. Perhaps someone called you a foul name that was meant to denigrate and to belittle you in front of others. Maybe you suspect that a member of your own family has stolen something of yours, or perhaps with lies has defamed you in your own family. To some degree, all of us have felt what Joseph felt. All of us felt what Jesus felt as a true man. No, maybe we weren't sold into slavery. Maybe we weren't nailed up to a cross. But we all feel like we've been sold out by people we thought would never do that to us. We have all experienced evil intent. And while it is easy to quote Joseph's words, that what they mean for evil, God means for good, it is quite a bit harder to actually believe that that can possibly be the case when you're the one who has borne the brunt of evil intent. What good can possibly come of the evil that has been perpetrated against me? Well, let me tell you a little story. Gary Leon Ridgway. Is that name familiar to anybody? Remember back in the news 10 years ago or so, he is better known as the infamous Green River Killer. He is believed to have killed at least 71 women back in the 80s and 90s, but when he was captured in 2003, he confessed to only 48 of those murders because he couldn't remember all of them. He is, you might say, the incarnation of evil. At his sentencing in 2003, many of the families of the victims had an opportunity to speak out and to address Ridgway face to face in the courtroom. And Ridgway sat there with a stone-cold look on his face as family members, one after another, expressed their grief and their anger and their outrage. Until Robert Rule came forward. He is the father of a teenage victim of Ridgway, a girl by the name of Linda Rule. And he said something to this in this crowded courtroom that just took everybody by complete surprise. The transcripts read like this. Mr. Ridgway says, the father says, "Mr. Ridgway, there are people here that hate you. I am not one of them. You have made it difficult to live up to what I believe. And that is what God says to do, and that is to forgive. You are forgiven, sir." And those words brought Ridgway to tears. What makes people so strong to forgive others when they have done something evil? What made Joseph so strong to forgive his brother's horrendous evil? You know, I don't think it's that Joseph was by nature such a big-hearted, gracious guy. Actually, the Joseph we get to know in the scriptures was inconsiderate of others. He was egotistical. He was thoughtless. He hurt his brothers. And maybe to some extent even deserved what he got. And I think that he realized eventually that despite the evil he had done, God had been gracious to him. God had spared him and redeemed his life, had forgiven him the evil he had done, had lifted him up to be seated right next to the throne. And God had brought good out of that horrendous situation, the salvation of his family. God's mercy changed Joseph. Joseph forgave because he knew that he himself had been forgiven. And so Joseph is the antitype of the man in Jesus' parable today who received mercy but was unable to extend that mercy to others. You know, we don't know from our earthbound perspective what good can possibly come of the terrible things that people sometimes do to us. But this we know. God has shown mercy to us. He has forgiven us. He has lifted us up to a place of honor at His heavenly throne. So great is His love for us. And in a similar way, when we have been hurt by someone's evil intent, we don't have to sit idly by and wait for God to turn that evil into good for us. But you are a redeemed child of God. And that means you have a tool in your toolbox by which you can actually manufacture something good out of the evil that they intended. And that tool is to forgive that person who has done evil to you. Just like Robert Ruhl did, just like Joseph did, just like Jesus did when he prayed from the cross that those who crucified him would be forgiven. No wonder the centurion concluded he was the Son of God. That confession of faith was just one of many good things that God brought out of that evil day of his son's crucifixion. And who knows but that the forgiveness you extend to somebody else who hurt you might just melt their hearts and open them up to the Savior's dying love. But even if not, your heart in that act of forgiveness has been set free from bitterness and anger. And that would clearly be a good thing. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had on you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we sit here today, we can think of people who have had evil intent against us, who have hurt us. We pray, O Lord, that in the strength of your love and in the reception of your mercy, you would give us also the strength to give mercy, to extend your forgiveness to others, to set us free from the bitterness and the anger, and possibly even to win a brother for you or a sister. So help us, Lord, as your sons and daughters redeemed by the blood of Christ, to forgive even as we have been forgiven, and so to turn evil into good. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, the Lord bless you. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the strength of the Holy Spirit keep you steadfast in your Christian faith to life everlasting.